and of course in Armenian because he didn't speak English. And the first time through, I maybe get like 5 or 10%. So the second time, oh, that's what he was talking about. Oh, okay. Third time, oh, wow, that's pretty interesting. And by that time, Sosie would come to me. It's like, have you had enough of my dad? You know, she's apologetic. It's like, no, this is really great. It's like an Armenian lesson and getting to know your dad all at once. This is this story. He can just keep telling it. And finally, he said the same story the fourth time, fifth time. She pulled him aside and said, Dad, really? I mean, his Armenian is bad, but come on. Even he now has heard this story too many times. And he's like, eh? He's finally understanding me. And so he would just tell the stories over and over and over again. And I think Dad is the perfect evangelist, because you cannot tell the story of Jesus enough. You can't tell God's story enough times. And you may think you know it the first time, and even though we can read English just fine as we read through the scripture, you may think you know it the second time, the third time, but you know, there is always more that God's trying to get our attention with. And when you think about God's story, when you see the slide change to God's story, there we go. Nope, that is not where we are. If we could go back there, hey, there we are. The story that God gives us to the scripture is that he is calling out a people for his very own. That is the scripture from Genesis to Revelation. God is calling out a people for his very own. But he's also empowering his people to bear witness to Jesus. He's calling empowering his people to bear witness to Jesus. And he's not expecting us to do it on our own. It's not, okay, get the job done. I'll stay up here. You get the job done. He sends us his spirit and he empowers us. But this is not the whole story. Because while God is calling out a people, while he's empowering people, he's also preparing people. He's preparing people to receive Jesus. So God's story is about God. And the book of Acts is Jesus continuing to establish his kingdom by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit through his faithful witnesses to all people. That's what we've seen in Acts. We've seen it starting in Jerusalem as Bob Billy Phil opened our service. He quoted from Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest or the uttermost parts of the earth. See, that's the story of the book of Acts. And we saw it starting in Jerusalem. We saw the Jewish community that was actually made up of two distinct groups, the Greek-speaking and the Hebrew-speaking. And then with Stephen's martyrdom, we saw that they were scattered. They were scattered. See, God's plan in establishing and establishing his kingdom, it didn't come through inviting people to Jerusalem. Jerusalem couldn't fit all the people that were going to come to believe in Jesus. All the people that God was calling out to himself through the empowering of his people, the people he prepared to receive Jesus, Jerusalem couldn't hold it. And with Stephen's stoning and his death, his martyrdom, the people scattered. They scattered. They weren't gathered, but they were scattered. So here's the story. God is always at work. And sometimes we get to join him. God is always at work. Always, 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 always at work. And sometimes we get to join him. So how are we going to join him? Ephesians 2:10 is one of my favorite verses. It's one of my life verses. You've heard me share it before. It says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You've heard me say this, that we're masterpieces made in mud. That's who we are. We're God's workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which he has prepared for us to walk in. Again, sometimes we get to join him in the work that he's doing. And the way we do it, it begins with listening. Listening and looking. It's paying attention. I love how Henry Blackaby puts it. Our job as followers of Jesus are to look to see what God is doing, and then what? Just join him. Look to see what God is doing, and then join him. You are not called to be innovators. You are not called to be brilliant. Oh, what would be the best thing I could do for God? God's prepared good works ahead of time. Our job, this is your job, is to look and to listen. What is God doing? And then join him. Doesn't that take a little pressure off? Normally when we say the word evangelism, the cold sweat goes down our back, and even pastors have it. Oh, I've got to talk about, there's good works prepared. There are people that God is preparing. So our job is to pay attention. So if you look in the life of Philip here in the passage that Bobby Phil just read for us, is that we recognize that God guides. God guides. Again, it's not up to you to figure out God's plan for your life. He does a really good job. But because he's willing to guide, we need to listen for him. Philip has just had this incredible ministry in Samaria where these people that the Jews despised came in mass to believe in Jesus. And then the apostles came and then they received the Holy Spirit. This was a major shift. But, oh, wow, God cares about these despised Samaritans, do? The last people you would have expected God to care about, he cares about them. And through Philip's preaching, through the apostles, they received the Holy Spirit, and the church is expanding. And we read in verse 26, now an angel of the Lord appeared to Philip. Go south to the desert. The desert road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. You've been north, you've been to Samaria, but we're going to change things up. Now listen carefully. Just because God has operated and guided you in a particular way yesterday, don't expect it to always be the same. Don't ever think that you've got God figured out. You put him in the little box. This is what God does. He told me to go north, so I'll, north, forget south? No, that doesn't work like that. No. God says, Philip, you've been to the north, now you're going to go south. You're going to go to Gaza. Just go on the road. And what's really interesting is that you'd think if you heard from an angel of the Lord, it would be pretty clear. Did you see what the directions were? Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Why? Okay, the road's going to Gaza. Am I going to Gaza? He doesn't get the why. He doesn't even get the where from God. He gets the what, he's supposed to go. He gets the how, because he's not a rich guy, so he's going to be walking there. And he gets the when. You see what the when is? So he started out. If you want to hear God's guidance, if you want to see what he's doing and join him, your answer is when now. Sometimes God will only tell you once. And I'm sure many of us could come up and say, you know what? I've got a list of opportunities that I let slip by. Good works which God prepared in advance for me to walk in, but instead of walking, I just stayed on the couch. instead of getting in step with the Spirit, I just watched TV, went on a date, I studied. When God speaks, when He guides, it's now. And there's really got to be a commitment not just to listen for Him, but to listen to Him. And I love the scripture because it, just like in English, we have the word to hear, which that's what we do with our ears. We hear, but that's different than listening, isn't it? Okay, parents, is there a difference between your children hearing you and your children listening to you? No, right? No, if they hear, Mom, I heard you. No, you didn't. You may have heard me, but you're not listening to me, because what does listening imply? That you do it. That you do what you hear. We've got to listen for God, and we have to listen to Him. I remember my sister telling me once, long, long ago, that God does not steer a parked car. God does not steer a parked car. God guides you. You take the first step. It may be vague. You may not know where. You may not know why. But if you've got the what, you're probably going to have the how, and you know the when is when. Now, take the first step. Take the first step. Listen to Him, take the first step, and then, well, let's see what happens next. So God guides, so we've got to listen to Him, and we've got to believe, and I've said this, that God is preparing. God prepares the way. So what? So expect opportunities. If He's asking you to do something, expect opportunities to be able to do it. Expect the opportunities. So Philip started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of, and I think it's actually not Candace, I just learned this week, it's Kandake. It's a different way of pronouncing things. The queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Okay, that's pretty amazing. See, God's preparing a way, so expect opportunities. Expect opportunities. Here's an Ethiopian, and just so you know that this is not the present-day Ethiopian. This would have been, and here I'm going to test you, this would be in the regions of Upper Egypt. Okay. For all of you who think Upper Egypt is north, thanks for playing. Upper Egypt is actually south. It's the southern part of the Nile. This would be the area of the Sudan right now. And the reason Ethiopia is used is that Ethiopians were the black Africans. Frequently, those who came from Egypt were not black, but Nubia, that was the area where the people were black. And so here's a black African who's influential, works in Kandake is actually the office for the queen of the Ethiopian. That's not a name of somebody, but multiple queen mothers of the Ethiopians, they were known as Kandake. And this man was in charge of her treasury. And he's a black African associated with Judaism. He's worshiping the God of Israel. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever experienced this, but in 1984, when I went to Armenia to visit, it was the first time, one of the first people I met were a group of Ethiopian students. And I will never forget my shock as we were sort of being moved along in a tour, and they turned to each other. They start speaking Armenian. I don't speak Armenian. I'm Armenian. Here's some Ethiopian. They're speaking Armenian. When I got over the shame, I listened. It's like, wait a second. And I stopped them. I said, "You're speaking Armenian?" And they said, "Of course we do. Of course we do." It's a similar shock in the text to have a black African coming to Jerusalem to worship the living God. And that's the one that God directs Philip to go speak to. He says, I want you to go to that chariot. Okay, because God's preparing the way. Expect opportunities. Expect further guidance. If he starts it vague, relax. Relax. He is going to make himself more clear. We don't know how many chariots were going. And don't think Ben-Hur when you think of chariots, because that looks a little awkward trying to read your Bible and, you know, hitting the... It would have been like a covered wagon. And it would have been ox-driven. And so the Spirit tells Philip, as Philip is walking, not knowing exactly what's up, go and stay near it. And I love this part, sorry. And Philip ran. Okay, this is really neat. So there was running in the Bible. So Philip ran up to the chariot, and he hears the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Okay. Please get this. We listen to God. We listen for his guidance. But we also listen to people. One of the biggest dangers that Christians face who are trying to serve God is they will hear from God. God's telling me to do this. And God wants me to talk to you. And you know, listen to both God and people. Look what's going on around you, because it may be, just like for Philip here, it's the circumstances, it's the people around you that help clarify what God is guiding you to do. What that means is, please ratchet down your confidence/arrogance that you're hearing from God. Never pull that out as a card you throw down on someone like, God told me. Please don't say that. Say, it appears that God is speaking to me about this. I'll tell you something. As someone who once did not follow Jesus and who has a number of friends who still do not yet follow Jesus, if you want to have a guaranteed end to God working through you in a particular person's life, start it out with the statement, God told me. It'll end it right there. Okay, then since he's talking to you, why don't you go talk to him and leave me alone? I know, because I tried it. It doesn't work real well. So he comes running up to the chariot, and he's listening. He listened to God, now he's listening to him. He runs up, and he hears the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And so if that's not an open door, I don't know what is. Do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? Ask questions of people. Don't assume that you understand what's going on in their heart. We don't even know what's going on in our own hearts, much less somebody else's. Ask questions. Ask them, what are they thinking about? If God is moving you, you think God's telling you to speak to someone, start, you know, to speak also includes questions. It's not just you speaking. It can be you asking. And so he says, do you understand what you are reading? What a gracious way of starting. What a gracious way of starting. Do you understand this? He's making the assumption, and we need to make the same assumption, just like we have a tough time figuring out everything we read in the Bible. If someone's reading the Bible, it might be for one of the first times, or maybe they don't come from a church background, or maybe someone's given them a Bible and they're just trying to find their way. Don't assume they understand. Don't condescend. You don't get it? Well, that's obvious. That's Isaiah 53. I mean, that's Jesus. Don't you get that? No. Just be gracious. Do you understand what you're, do you understand it? I love his response. This is a humble man. How can I? Unless someone explains it to me. Now remember, this guy, while he's worshiping the living God, the God of Israel, the God who's revealed himself in his word, through his commandments, through his prophets, this man is a eunuch. And so even though he had gone to Jerusalem to worship, he couldn't get very far. I mean, court of the Gentiles, maybe. But he couldn't get in to offer a sacrifice because Deuteronomy says, anybody who with mutilation can't come in and worship me. So imagine this guy. He wants to worship God, but he's left out because God is holy. So this guy says, how can I, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Okay, here's another principle. Get close to people. Just so you know, just because someone doesn't follow Jesus Christ yet doesn't mean they have an infectious disease. Okay? You are not going to get dirty by loving someone who has yet to follow Jesus. Do you have any friends? Not just acquaintances, not just people you put up with, but people you would actually consider friends that you get close to who don't know Jesus yet? I was talking to a friend who's a pastor, and he said, you know what? I'm absolutely ashamed of myself. I don't have one friend who doesn't follow Christ. Being a pastor has ruined my life. I don't have one friend. Do you have a friend, someone that you're close enough to, that they get to see what Christ is doing in your life? They get to see that you're not perfect, but you love forgiveness? Do you have any friends who don't know Jesus yet? I mean, I know people that if they're riding on the subway or the bus and someone said, hey, could you help me read that? I might stop as the next one, sorry. Lord, please give them somebody who could explain that to them. Might have been you. Get close enough to him. He invites him in, and you've got to understand, Philip was pretty bold. You run up to the side of somebody's carriage, and it's like, hey, you understand what you're reading? Yelling back out, I don't know. How can I do it without someone to explain to me? Come on in. And it, you know, don't think of like our movies where, you know, he's like running and makes it on the train. It's not like that. It's going slow enough that he could have gotten in. So he gets in, there's room, he sits down, the scroll is laid out, and we read that he was led like a sheep to the slaughter and as a lamb before the shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth, and in his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? Right here, we're ready to celebrate the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that he paid the price for our sins. Is that not good news? I kept this all this week. Jesse at family camp had led us in the song, Jesus Paid It All. And all week through in my mind, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to him. It just kept going through my mind, and then there's a little chorus added to it. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt, who raised this life up. It's been going through my mind all week long, and that's what was going through the Ethiopian's mind, but he didn't know who this was about. Just remember, the who is Jesus. The who is Jesus. See, you want to ask questions, you want to get close, and then you want to let God speak. You want to let God speak. And so, you know, stick with the scripture. Stick with the scripture. Because if you stick with the scripture, it'll take you to whom? Jesus. It'll take you to Jesus. And it's the who that matters. Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is the good news. In Isaiah 53, and I can't help but think that when it says that he preached about Jesus beginning with this passage, I think the discussion ended in Isaiah 56. Let no foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let not any eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. Isaiah 56:4 continues, for this is what the Lord says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenants, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, and my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. You're the guy who's never been able to get close enough to God. You've sought to love him. You've sought to worship him, but you can never get close. You learn that this is, that Isaiah 53, this passage, isn't about the prophet. It's about the suffering, anointed Savior of God who's made a way that anything that would make us unacceptable to God is over. Anything that would make us unacceptable to God is covered, it's finished. And God's got his arms out, open wide. See, God's story is that he is calling out a people for his very own. He's empowering his people to bear witness to Jesus. And he's preparing hearts. He's preparing people to receive Jesus. See, the gospel is for everyone. It started with the guilty Jews. Remember, Peter gives the sermon and says, you crucified him. And they said, what do we do? And then it went from there to the deceived Samaritans who only kept the first 5 books of the Bible. They didn't want the rest of it. But God didn't keep them out. He didn't keep them out because they were deceived by a magician. He sent Philip there. The gospel got to go to them. And now we've got a devoted but ignorant worshiper of the living God who doesn't really know what's going on. And God finds a way to bring him in. Next week we get an enemy of the gospel who comes. And then we got more foreigners coming. See, God is always at work. God is always at work. So the question is, will you join him? This week, will you listen for his voice? Will you be ready to listen to him when you hear it and say, yes, I'm in? The word is yes. Again, you may not know the why. You will know the what. And you for sure know the when. When? Now. Now, God's at work, and this might be the week where we get to join him. I'd like to invite those who will be serving communion to please come forward now.